You know, the other thing that may have seemed strange in that song is what Jesus said is go. Okay, he walks with me and he talks with me and he says, you're my own. But at some point he says, go. And that's what he told the disciples, and that's what he tells us in Matthew 28. He says, go and make disciples of all nations. But also, he said, go and preach the gospel. Go and share it with people. And you don't have to necessarily be a Bible thumper to do that. You don't have to bang people over the head with the Bible to get them to hear it. Because what people are going to do, especially when they know you're Christians, especially when they know that you've said in church, is they're going to look at how you're living. And they're going to look at how you treat other people. And then they're going to judge you based on that. It's like I always said, always be preaching, only use words when necessary. Because 90% of communication is what people see you do. If you'd like to participate with communion, in communion with us, there's communion cups on the table. And the very top is the wafer. And then underneath, it is not wine, it is juice. But that night that Jesus was betrayed, the night of the Last Supper, they sat around. This was the Passover meal. And not only that, it was the Last Supper, but it was the First Communion. It was the first time that they had communion together. And they had all eaten. And they were kind of sitting around relaxing. And then Jesus took the bread and he held it to heaven and he gave thanks for it. And he broke it. And he said, take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And what he wanted us to do is he wanted us to remember what he did and what he did for us. And he doesn't want us to forget that our sins are forgiven through him. And that's why this is so important. And we have the communion and the fellowship of believers. And in the same manner, he took the wine. And when he had blessed it, he offered it to his disciples. He didn't tell them, you have to drink it. He offered it to them. Just like he offers a new life to us. And he said, take, drink. This is the blood of the new covenant. This blood is shared for you for the it is shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins from me. Like to make an offering, we would appreciate it. It helps us keep the lights on and the water going and everything around here. The donations and the offerings, it's like a mailbox sitting up on the wall. And feel free if you like to make an offering. It was like Jesus one time, he was sitting with his disciples. If you're in the Old Testament says to tithe. Tithe is a tenth of what you make. In the New Testament, Jesus was standing across from the tabernacle, and what happened was a widow came up, and what they had to do was they had to pay a temple tax. And the widow came up, and she gave the last of what she had. And Jesus sat back, and he said, it's easy for the rich people to give money because they have plenty of money to give. But she only had a little to give, and she got the greatest blessing out of it. And as you get into the New Testament, Jesus says to give as He's given you. And the coolest thing that I've seen is there are people in here today who have tried to outgive God. Right, Jane? And John? I've watched them do it. And they can't do it. Because God owns it all. And God gives it all to us. So, today, reach out, our April challenge. We have met everything in our April challenge. Provide children with candy-filled eggs, snacks, and prizes. We did that with the Easter egg hunt. I see the smiles on all the volunteers' faces because it was all awesome. Distribute flyers with our schedule. We did it. And invite people to the Easter service. This is great. It's great having everybody here. We'll start focusing on our May reach out. For those who don't know, who may be new with us, what we do is every year we have a Christ theme. This year's Christ theme is to reach out. Because what I wanted to do, what we wanted to do, what God has led us to do, is go beyond these four walls. Because there's so many people out there who are looking for what you have. And you found Christ. And you're here with us. And you're spending time with us and with the fellowship of believers. Okay, to escape the error of salvation by works, we have fallen into the opposite error of salvation without obedience. And that's one of the big things that God asks us to do. And if you read through the Old Testament, you see Him just saying, guys, be obedient to my word. He doesn't have that many things for us to be obedient for. And so then what He did is He sends Jesus to tell us, guys, it's not that hard, really, to be obedient. Live clean lives. And He shows us in the New Testament how to do that. He shows us not only how to be a Christian, but how to live a life of a Christian. It takes some getting used to, but I'll tell you what, the blessings are enormous. Obedience isn't legalism. It's a symptom of genuine salvation. Obedience to the Word. He is risen! Yeah, I love it. I love it. Okay, so everybody's waking up. And no, don't go to sleep just because the pastor is getting ready to do the sermon. I'll try to keep you all awake today. Today, if you'd like to participate, anytime I say He is risen, you're going to hear it in different places as I go through the sermon today. Just blare it out. Because this is such a wonderful day. This is something we should be celebrating. And we're even going to have lunch afterwards, from what I understand. Okay, I'm looking at the people working the kitchens. They're going, yeah. You know, it used to be I would look at one person. And now it's like four or five people in the kitchen. And I'm like, holy moly, I don't know how you guys do that. 2 weeks ago, we talked about Jesus' crucifixion and what Jesus went through. Not only to fulfill the Scripture, but also to save us from sin. So we can be in the presence of God. Because as we are with sin, we cannot be in His presence because God is perfect. So Jesus came to forgive us of those sins. And that's another reason that we have communion. So we remember those things. So we don't forget what He did for us. And we are protected and we are blessed by the blood of Jesus. Today is the celebration of one of the greatest battles being won. The battle between God and Satan. And we know who wins this battle. And it is won every day of our lives for us. Just by giving our life to Christ. Today's one of the two most special days to me personally. The first, of course, is Christmas, the birth of Christ. Because had Christ not been born, He wouldn't have been persecuted. He wouldn't have been crucified. He wouldn't have been put in a tomb and sealed there. And then He wouldn't have been resurrected. And the best part for me was that he went down into hell and he grabbed the keys of Hades and brought them back up, giving us eternal life. So it was not something else that determined whether we lived or died. There's a lot more. There is a lot more to the resurrection than meets the eye. Jewish people believe that the spirit does not leave the body for 3 days. Sound familiar? Jesus didn't rise for 3 days. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. But did you ever wonder why it took so long for Jesus to get to Lazarus? Lazarus was one of Jesus' best friends. And Lazarus took ill. And Mary came to Jesus and said, "Jesus, your friend is ill. Come see him." And Jesus goes, "Okay, I will." And they came back. And Jesus, "Why are you waiting? Why are you tarrying?" Like what the song said. "We need you to come save him." And Jesus goes, "Okay, it'll be fine." And then they came back and eventually they said, "Jesus, don't worry. He's already dead." But that wasn't the end of the story. And neither was it when Jesus was put in the tomb. But he went to Lazarus. He went to the tomb where Lazarus was. Lazarus had already been put in the tomb. He had been wrapped in burial cloth. And he had been put away. And Jesus walks in and he goes, "Lazarus, come on, man, get up and walk out." And he did. But the one thing about that happened, he was wrapped in burial cloth. And the one thing that the Bible is very specific about is that he had the burial cloth over his face. And depending on what version you read, it's called a handkerchief that was over his face, which is different than the cloth that he was wrapped in. And Jesus was wrapped in that same cloth. And he also had that napkin or that handkerchief over his face. And Jewish custom is that there's the master and there's the servant. It's like Jesus always said, "I don't know what the master wants until the master tells me." That's the way things work. The servant doesn't know what the master wants unless he sees what the master is doing. That's what the servant does. The servant is there for the master. And when the servant, every Jewish boy knew this tradition. When the servant set the dinner table for the master, he made sure that everything on that dinner table was exactly the way the master wanted it. Where does he want his fork? Where does he want the salt? Where does he want his plate? Because he wants to look good for the master. When he got done putting the table together, what happened was the servant would go out of sight and he'd stand over on the side. And when the master was finished eating, the servant wouldn't dare touch that table until he knew for sure that the master was finished. Now when the master was done eating, what he did was he'd get up from the table, he'd wipe his fingers, wipe his mouth, he'd clean his beard, and then he would wad up the napkin and he'd throw it on the table. That way the servant knew that it was time to clear the table. The master was done. The master was done with everything at the table. That would mean that wadded napkin would mean I'm done. But if the master got up from the table and he folded that napkin neatly and he laid it beside his plate, the servant wouldn't dare touch the table because the servant knew that the folded napkin meant I'm coming back, which is very significant. Let's take a look at what happened. Let's take a look at what Jesus did. Remember when the women entered the tomb and the linens were there that he was buried in? John chapter 20, verse 6 and 7. Simon Peter came following him, and Simon Peter went into the tomb and saw the linen cloths laying there and the handkerchief that had been around Jesus' head. It wasn't lying with the linens. It was folded together in a place all by itself. Jesus was saying, I'm coming back. That was his message to the Jewish people. That was his message to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the people that did not believe in him. He left that message for them. The best part about this whole thing is he outsmarted them. He outsmarted the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and from what I've seen, it probably didn't take a whole lot to do that. And if you remember, the whole time that Jesus was around, there was only one time I believe he got angry. And that's when he went, rode into Jerusalem, his triumphal entry, and he went into the temple, and the money changers were there, and the people that were selling things. And I could see him possibly be okay with that, but the whole thing is they were ripping people off. Their scales were wrong. Everything they were doing was to steal money from people. Several things happened that are telling of the resurrection. Of course, a stone was put in front of the cave where Jesus was buried. And the tomb was secured by putting a seal on it. Because what had happened is the Pharisees had gone to Pilate and said, Pilate, he said that after the third day he's going to rise again from the dead. We want to make sure that this guy is sealed in the tomb. He's got a seal on the outside of the tomb because we're afraid his disciples are going to come get him. Well, this rock that was put in front of the tomb was not something small. It was something to make sure that Jesus didn't get out. Right, Deb? Jesus didn't get out. Yeah, and the reason I say that, the reason I pointed at Deb, is because the other day we were talking, and she goes, you know what? She goes, I don't think it's that Satan's trying to get into the church. God's trying to get out. Just like he did in the tomb. Let's get out. So Matthew chapter 28, verse 1. After the Sabbath. And that is, this is really important, because before preparation day, the Jewish people did not want anyone crucified to still be on the cross, so they had to come down. They had to come down from the cross. The first day of the week, it began to dawn, which meant it was still dark out. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake. An angel of the Lord, because an angel of the Lord descended from heaven. There was this big earthquake. He came from heaven. He rolled back the stone that he sat on it. And his countenance was like lightning. His appearance was like lightning. It was like nothing I could ever imagine. It was shining bright. And he's just kind of sitting there on the stone. His clothes were white as snow. The guards shook of fear and became like dead men. And I think that the reason they did that, sure, an angel came down, but they knew there's a possibility they were going to be killed because that stone was rolled back. Just like the guys that made sure that the people that were crucified were dead before they brought them down. These guys knew what this was about, killing people. And they knew that that stone had to stay in front of it. The angel answered to the women. Keep in mind, I talked about this a couple of weeks ago. This was a very confusing time for everyone. And if you compare the Gospels, you can see how confusing it was. One person saw this, another person saw that. There was one person here, there were two people there. I can only imagine what was going on in these people's head. They thought God, Jesus was gone. We saw the guy crucified. He is dead. But look at their faith. I believe they lacked in faith with what Jesus said, which he said, I will be back. After 3 days, I'm going to come back. But it had never happened before. How could anyone resurrect themselves? Jesus could resurrect people. Jesus could heal people. But how can a person come back to life? Jesus did. Anyway, so the angel said, don't be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus. That guy that got crucified. But he's not here. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Ha! As he said, come. Go ahead. Walk in. See the place where he lay. Check it out. He's gone. We didn't steal him. He got up and he walked out of here. The other cool thing he said at that point, the angel said, go and tell the disciples. Go quickly and tell the disciples. The disciples didn't want to believe it. Oh, yeah. Right. The stone's been moved and Jesus has been gone. They kind of poo-pooed it and was like, oh, yeah, okay. And one of the Gospels even said the women were afraid to say anything because they knew they weren't going to be believed. So he said, go quickly. Tell them that he's risen from the dead.
He is risen indeed.
And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee, which is another very important thing because Matthew 26, verse 32, Jesus told them that. He said, on the third day when I've been resurrected, I'm going to go before you to Galilee. But nothing in this part of the gospel says that Jesus told them this is what's going to happen. But he had already told them everything that was going to happen. And the angel said, he's going to go before you to Galilee, and there you're going to see him. And at that point he said, I told you, because that was what the angel was told to come and say to them. But you know, isn't that kind of like us? Oh, let me go on. I want to show you something from Luke. As they were afraid, the women were afraid of everything that they had seen. I mean, it would be angels. Who has an angel? Who has an angel come in and there's an earthquake and he's sitting there like actually talking to you in person? Oh my gosh, you always hear about it with other people, but not with me. And they bowed their faces to the earth. The women bowed their faces to the earth because they were so scared. And the angel said, why do you seek the living among the dead? Don't be looking for it. And isn't that kind of like us? We have a tendency to look for something that's already gone. Something that we should have left in the past. We should have left it at the cross. We should have crucified it. Looking for the old when the new is much better. We can't seem to let go of the old, and all the time God is telling us there's something better. Just let go and let God. Let Him do His thing. Because it's much better than what we could do. And it's not always easy to do that, to let go of the old and focus on the new. We look forward. You ever wonder why in your car, your rear view mirror is this little tiny thing, but your windshield's great big? It's so you're looking forward. Stop looking in the past. Sometimes we don't know. We've got to let things go. So how about sometimes we look at people who have changed? You ever catch yourself saying, oh, I wish I had that old person back again. There was a guy that I worked with that had come out of jail. He was a drug dealer. And he used to tell me stories. He goes, I was the kind of guy, Mike, I would go and kick in a door with a gun and go in and steal stuff. Well, the people were in their apartments. And he tried to come out of that world when he came out of prison because he had found Christ. And he said, it is so hard to do. He started a lawn mowing business. And he said, it is so hard to do. What happens was his friend, and this was the last time I heard from him, his friends from the hood, he said, I pulled up to get gas, and they pulled in front of me and said, hey, where you been? Don't you come back to the hood. I'm starting my own business. And they said, how much do you make? And he told them, this is how much I make in a month. And he says, you know what? You could make that in a day with me. I never heard from him again. I know what he's doing. I know what happened. It was too easy He crucified things, but then he went and he picked them back up. He picked up that old stuff. So when we find ourselves saying, I wish I had that old person back, sometimes that happens with Alzheimer's, sometimes it happens with dementia. But what the angel said, they said the old was crucified and the old has died. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? If you're looking for a new life, for a new start, you don't go back from where you're trying to move away from. You go forward in life. And that's what we're doing here in this church. We're moving forward. Hopefully we're making a difference in other people's lives. And we're moving them forward. And that's what Jesus does for us through the blood of the new covenant with God. He gives us new normals, a new way of thinking, a new life when you believe in Him. So today and every day, let's celebrate Jesus' victory for us. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He's risen because He wants us to have a full and abundant life in His name. And all we have to do is reach out and pick it up. All we have to do is accept it. Accept that He's there for us. So, don't look for the living among the dead. What is dead, and leave it dead. If you want a new life, keep looking forward because it's beautiful. The blessings are incredible. And the more obedient you are, the more you keep your eyes on Jesus, the faster you're going to move. And there's going to be things happen to you that you never expected happening, that would happen. But the thing is it happens a little bit at a time. When a train takes off from a train station, it doesn't go 80 miles an hour. It has to slowly get its speed up. God wants to know that you're obedient. Look for the resurrection in things that have died or that you have crucified. Reach out as Jesus did and help people turn away from their old life by showing them the way, the truth, and the life. You have it inside of you and you have it in your heart because that's what God did as He put His word in your heart. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're a drug addict, prostitute, if you're a murderer. God still put His word in your heart. All you have to do is just accept. If you would pray with me. Lord, thank You for all You've done for us and for all the people we touch on a daily basis. Thank You for the discernment You've given us. And most of all, for giving Your Son, Jesus, to die once and for all, for our sins. Today we don't celebrate the death of Your Son, but the resurrection. Out with the old and in with the new covenant between us and You through Your Son. Thank You for blessing Your ministry here on 8th Avenue as we reach more and more people. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Today is a new day. If you want to give your life to Christ, don't wait. Yesterday was a canceled check. Tomorrow's a promissory note. We don't know what's going to happen between today and tomorrow. But you do have right here and now. If you want to accept the Lord as your Savior, just say, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. Come into my heart. I make You my Lord and Savior. We believe if you've said that simple prayer, you've been born again. Get in a Bible-based church. Stay in a Bible-based church and be right back here again next week. So, Jesus asked us to do one thing. And this is what I believe that He asked us to do. This last song, it's about carrying your candle to the world.